Hey, this is Dan Jarvis with Tactical Resiliency USA. I'm also the founder of a very successful nonprofit, 220.org. It's a veteran and first responder nonprofit that stands in the gap providing life-saving treatments to veterans and first responders and their families to help them overcome PTSD, depression, and anxiety. Well, Tactical Resiliency USA is now taking this model into the public sector with law enforcement, firefighters, paramedics, veteran organizations, and even active military. And what we're going to do is we're going to train other first responders to do peer support and also do things like crisis negotiations, because you can take somebody from a very agitated, neurologically intense emotional state to restful and peaceful state. And that's the end goal, is to get their nervous system to calm down so they can get to sleep. Sleep's where everything gets reprocessed. I love what I get to do. April of 2018 is when 220 was spoken into existence. I was actually at a men's leadership retreat in Tampa, Florida. It was an organization called Spartans Rising, and the leader of that organization is a retired Green Beret Lieutenant Colonel, Scott Mann. And when we were, I think it was like day two of the weekend, Scott stopped midway and he says, "Dan, you look like you have something you want to say." And I'm like, "Yes, 220. What's that?" We're losing 22 vets a day to suicide. We're going to take it to zero. I had no idea how that was going to happen. But that was when the mission started. It was April 15th, 2018. That's literally the moment 220 was spoken into existence. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm a believer in God. I love my relationship with Jesus. It is the most important part of my life. And I know everybody out there may not have that same philosophy or belief structure, and that's okay. My model of the world shouldn't affect yours, and your model shouldn't affect mine. But I believe that was a moment that God kind of whispered into my ear, 220. All right, this is what you're going to do. This is your assignment. It's like a divine appointment. And then for 5.5 years, we were working on building out 220. And the amount of energy and effort that's gone into it to get it to where it is right now, where we actually have 2 full-time employees. I was very blessed to be able to make some great connections in that organization. One of the, people that I love to thank the most is Jay Garstecki, right? Jay Garstecki does Operation Healing Heroes on the Discovery Channel. And Jay is he's a civilian, but he's super passionate about the veteran and first responders that serve our country and communities. So Jay's been trying to give back. He does Take a Vet Fishing as well. Well, Michael Geyer is another one I'd like to thank. Michael Geyer interviewed me in a Wounded Heroes documentary, and where they were talking about alternative treatments, because I went through a process called accelerated resolution therapy, which was significant in how I process survivor guilt. I know now why. It was literally, I remember the moment that the emotion releases, and it had to do with the framing of the event, kind of like similar to what we do with the EMP, but it uses like eye movement, just like EMDR. It's just a rebranded EMDR. Anyways, Michael Geyer's documentary connected me to Jay Garstecki, and Jay Garstecki connected 220 with, the Jantz Valor Foundation. It's now a donor-directed fund where $150,000 a year gets put into 220 every single year. The first year it was $75,000, the second year was $150,000, and it's going to be a repetitive contribution. And then recently another, I can't mention his name because he wants to be left out of the public light, and the contribution that another gentleman is going to make is about $200,000. Now, I'm not sure if that's going to be an annual or one time, but, I did some work with this gentleman, and, that came through Jay Garstecki's connection. So Jay himself may be responsible for $350,000 a year coming into 220. And that's how the relationships kind of build out. My uncle up in Michigan, my uncle Chris Jarvis with the American Legion out of Grand Haven, Michigan, they're probably contributing $25,000 to $30,000 a year to 220. And then, the Westgate Foundation, I was able to make connections with those folks, and they give every year $10,000 towards the end of the year to 220. And then, there's other organizations that are following and doing the same thing. So it's all about the relationship. And, it's been a long journey. Trying to raise funds for a nonprofit when there's 45,000 veteran nonprofits out there is a difficult task. But there's so many people that need to be thanked on that journey. And the tribe at 220, the men and women who serve as coaches, are just some of the most selfless service folks that you can meet, and are just so much in trying to help, you know, contribute to that cause. So I've been very blessed to be a part of that. I'm not on the board of directors of 220 any longer. I've since moved on. But I'm now Tactical Resiliency USA is the company that I'm operating. And my mission here is, and it's a lot easier to run a for-profit entity than a nonprofit. So my mission with Tactical Resiliency USA is to go out into the first responder communities, the veteran nonprofit communities, and anyone interacting with folks dealing with PTSD, depression, anxiety, you know, is to, how do we give them the skills that they need to help their clients? You know, one of the things that I was really kind of surprised early on was the lack of unity of effort in the veteran space. Everybody's just so individualized and turf oriented, you know, and so many people, when you share with them what you have access to, and you just want to help them help their clients, it's almost like this territorial turf war. It's like, no, get back, stay away, right? They don't want to interact with anybody that's going to mess up their piece of the pie or whatever, you know. And the sad part about that is we were never asking for financial contributions from these folks. We're like, hey, how do we help you help your communities? And anyways, so a lot's been going on, and we've also been blessed over the years. Project Vet Relief is funded 220. That's the American Legion nonprofit out of the state of Florida. So a lot of good things happened with 220. And now moving on to the Tactical Resiliency USA part, I'm really excited. One of the things that we just recently did, Abel Rodriguez is a friend of mine who's going around, and he's going to be helping me with the Tactical Resiliency USA. He's a retired 7th Special Forces out of Eglin Air Force Base in Florida. And him and I went out to California. And it was the Stanislaus County Sheriff's Office that brought us out there. They had heard about what 220 was doing. And then Susie, who is their wellness coordinator, she's awesome. Susie is like, she was an Olympic athlete. So she's like a world-class athlete where it comes to track and field. And anybody who knows anything about athletics, you know, if you're competing at that level, you fully understand what, you know, is required of the individual from an emotional perspective. So Susie was pretty cool when we first met. Susie Powell-Roos is her name. She got to experience the trauma work and the emotions work. And I didn't realize, but she had recently lost her brother two months prior to that. And we were able to disconnect the traumatic emotions attached to it. Now, she still has emotions around her brother because it's your brother, it's your family. You know, we don't, this type of work doesn't negate emotions. It just shuts down those traumatic emotions, and it shuts off the past negative emotions. So she's going to be still processing that normally and grieving like a normal person would. And you wouldn't want to deny that from somebody. Well, Susie, after her session, she had to go meet with the sheriff, Jeff Dirks, out in Stanislaus County. And she said that she was really kind of caught off guard. She didn't know how to explain it because she just literally just had her mind blown. And she's like, what is this? Anyways, so she, as a wellness coordinator, they have grant funds that a lot of the agencies have, wanted to bring us out there. So she talked with some of the folks, and she didn't realize how much emotional stress that many of these people were carrying. And we're talking two captains, right? So people with, you know, more than 20 plus years law enforcement experience, and they wanted to test the waters before they brought us out. So I worked with both of the captains. I won't divulge their names. But I worked with both of the captains, did two sessions with the one captain and one with the other. And both of them were shocked. The one captain was like, I don't know if it's a coincidence, but I slept the best I have in my adult life after that first session. I said, no, that's not a coincidence. That's the byproduct of what we're trying to do. We're trying to get you to shut down the nervous system so that you can go into that rest and digest. So if you think about somebody that's got an overactive nervous system, gee, I wonder why law enforcement would have an overactive nervous system, because you're training your brain to operate that way as a matter of your job, right? So it becomes a conditioned pattern of behavior. So when you shut down that nervous system, it allows the REM sleep cycle it allows the REM sleep cycle to hit and allows them to reprocess those emotions. So it was really kind of cool to see that shift. And both of them were like, yes, this is absolutely real. We need to bring these folks out. So what they end up doing is they started handpicking people, men and women who have been through the ringer as it relates to critical incident stress, right? When we got out there, we had 2 days. We had 4 on the first day and 6 on the second day. And what was shocking is the amount of the stress load, what they would call the allostatic stress load. Not a single person had less than 8 critical incidences that were traumatic. In other words, when they associated into those memories, 0 to 10, they were like 8s, 9s, and 10s. High stress, right? So all, and then the next day there were 6. So there's 10 altogether. And then we ended up doing some minor sessions with some folks. Their peer support came to meet us at the end of the second day. And we also had an Oakland police sergeant that came down on the second day as well. So I did a session with him during the lunch break. And all of them, blown away. All of them couldn't believe how much more relaxed and calm they were. And, you know, one of the gentlemen, he got triggered pretty hard. I was just doing a little demo on anger, and he had a pretty significant trigger. And he was an infantry guy deployed, you know, as a combat vet on top of probably 10 years in law enforcement. And you could tell he was holding a lot of anger and other emotions. Well, Abel, you know, the retired Special Forces guy, my buddy, takes him off. I say, hey, just go back into the conference room and just work with him. And then I stayed there and worked with another person who got pretty triggered too. And both of them were just really, really chill. Well, the gentleman, the Kevin was the gentleman's name, came out and was like, that ain't bullshit, right? It's funny. It was like, I love it when you get those expressions. And it really kind of helped because, you know, Stanislaus County was unique, right? I've never seen an agency where they came in from the top down, right? The captain said, we're going to test this out before we make our folks go through it. That's leading from the front, right? That's servant leadership. That gave permission to the men and women that came those 2 days to actually engage and do the work. That's critical, right? To give permission to the men and women to, hey, this is something that we want to explore. We need you to test it for us so that we can see if it's something we want to bring to the agency. That's powerful, right? Because now they're empowering these 10 deputy sheriffs to vet the process for themselves. They've already experienced it, so they already know what it is. And it doesn't make you feel like you're trying to fix something. It's like, hey, how do we make you perform better? How do we help you perform at higher levels? Because we have to stop looking at PTSD and anxiety and depression as disorders. They're not. They're just neurological conditions, right? Injuries. Think of if you broke an arm, you're going to put a cast on it. You're going to go to the doctor and put a cast on it. The moment they labeled PTSD in 1980 in the DSM, I think it was the 3rd edition, the Diagnostic and Statistic Manual, they all realized they screwed up, right? Because they stigmatized the disorder as a disorder, like there's something wrong with you. And this was on the heels of Vietnam, right? Vietnam ended in like only 6 years prior to that. And they had this flood of people, men predominantly struggling after the war, right? And they didn't know what was going on. You know, probably if they'd have kept it the same name through all of the wars, we'd probably been a little bit farther ahead. You know, it was shell shock, and then it was battle fatigue, and then it was combat stress. And now it's post-traumatic stress disorder, right? Disorder is just a label, right? If you're out there and you're listening to this and you're dealing with trauma and they said you have PTSD, it's a label, nothing more, right? And it's a label so that they can prescribe you medication. It's a label so that they can bill your insurance company. You don't have to hold that label. You fully can break up with the label post-traumatic stress disorder, you know, and go from post-traumatic stress to post-traumatic strength, right? Because it's hard to explain. But imagine all those stress emotions that you're feeling on a regular basis and not being able to feel them anymore. What would that do for you? How would your life look if those stress emotions were not there? They were non-problematic, right? You're sleeping. You're not getting triggered in traffic. You're not getting triggered around large groups of people. Imagine what that would look like. And imagine if suicide was off the table because you're emotionally regulated. Imagine what that would look like for your family. We lose more first responders to suicide than line of duty deaths, police and fire, every single year. veterans, we all know the numbers in the veteran world is 22 a day. And there's a recent newer study with a Duke University and another nonprofit where they're saying it's as high as 44 a day. All right. Something's got to change. What this system is offering us isn't working, right? When all else fails in the military world, what do? Fresh tactics, right? So this is fresh tactics. That's all we're doing. We're teaching your brain a method to neurologically sever the link between the emotions and the memories, and allows the memory to reconsolidate. In other words, you're releasing the amygdala death grip on the emotion and the memory. And when that amygdala releases, the emotion separates from the picture, you're hitting REM sleep cycle, and that's when your brain refiles those memories, moves emotions into your hippocampus, and it moves the memory into long-term storage. So now it's like, oh, it's such a distant memory, it no longer feels like 5 minutes ago, right? And the triggers shut down. So imagine if you're at a fireworks display and you're getting triggered all the time because you're feeling the emotions of the gunfire that you felt in Iraq or Afghanistan or on a street corner in a city you were patrolling. You can sever those connections so that you actually can go and enjoy the fireworks and not have to feel the emotions anymore. You can go back to being that kid again, like, ooh, ah, right? That's a remarkable thing. So what we're doing now is, you know, the trauma resiliency protocol has been trained and used at 22-0. The emotions management process has been trained and used at 22-0. Both of them are phenomenal tools. But, you know, I'm going to talk a little bit about my faith, my journey, what's kind of got me to where I am. So, you know, when I started the new for-profit, the Tactical Resiliency, I was praying to God. I said, Lord, please bless this mission. Bless this somehow. And that night I had a dream, right? Weird as it sounds, and maybe it was just a random dream, or maybe this is a moment in time where God says, you know, we're going to give you a new tool, right? And this is what it's going to do. And it was a dream where I was in an environment in law enforcement, because I did 7 years in law enforcement, where a critical event occurred, and we walked somebody through the process. And this process is now known as the Peer Rescue Protocol. The Peer Rescue Protocol is a peer-administered protocol that in the moment can be administered very easily and effectively and efficiently, and probably within 4 to 5 minutes, you can neutralize the emotions that are attached to the traumatic event that you just witnessed. Now, that sounds crazy, I know. And, you know, the Trauma Resiliency Protocol would do the same thing. It would just probably take a little bit longer to get it. So for me, how do we do this in a more efficient manner? And how do we do it in a manner that our analytical folks don't struggle with so much? So this process, non-analytical, will work with anybody that's super analytical because it's easier for them to follow the instructions. I'm not going to go into the details on how it works and what the process looks like, but it allows you to disassociate the emotions quicker, faster, easier, without having to do a bunch of extra steps to get that to happen. And the peer rescue protocol also does emotions at the same time. So you're also disconnecting and disassociating negative emotions like rooted anger, resentment, rejection, fear, survivor guilt, what it is, in the same process. So it allows it to happen a little bit quicker. And I'll give you a story. So I worked with a female police officer out of the state of Pennsylvania, out of the Pittsburgh area. She had 8 traumatic events and 18 defined negative emotions. Right, she wanted to do some work, but she was working, didn't get off till 11:30. So I said, hey, let's just do a session at 11:30. Or you know, she gets off at 11. I said, let's do it at 11:30. You get home, relax a little bit, and then we'll do a session. She's like, really, you'll do that? I'm like, yeah, absolutely. Because I need you to sleep. That's the goal for me to do that. So I paused what I was doing, and I stayed up. And at 11:30, sent her a Zoom link. And 8 traumatic events, 18 negative emotions, took 56 minutes. And they were all 8s, 9s, and 10s. And at the end of the 56 minutes, they're all zeroed out. And then she slept for 9 hours that night. So the reality is the bulk of your traumatic stress and the bulk of your negative emotions, and that probably 90 to 95% can be resolved in that first session. And then the brain starts cleaning up. And then maybe you notice something down the road and you have a little weed pop through. And then it's just a little 3-4 minute phone call. And then that's gone. So that's a really cool part about it, is it allows the men and women who do serve to get back to work healthier, faster. You know, so if you have a wellness program, you know, the Stanislaus County Sheriff's Office brought us out under their wellness grant, because it was obviously a wellness event. If you can reset a nervous system, you don't get much more wellness than that, because that's something that's going to not only affect their job performance, they're going to perform better, but it's going to also affect their home life. It's also going to affect their health, because stress is the killer when it comes to first responders. You know, governments keep pushing the retirement age longer and longer and longer and longer because they know there's less time for that firefighter, police officer to collect their pension. All right. So if you want to live long and bankrupt your governments, reach out to us, right? See what we can do to help you live longer, happier, healthier lives, help your families, you know, because if you're struggling, your families are struggling right along with you. And then, you know, let's come out and let's train some people. So Stanislaw, after doing that initial 10 deputies, they're going to bring us back out there, and we're going to train their full peer support team. And we're also going to train their crisis intervention folks. So people that are dealing with people that are actively suicidal or maybe a barricaded subject, because the reality is if you can get rapport with them, they don't want to feel what they're feeling. Most of them don't want to feel it. And they're going to be able to utilize the tool and the protocol, the peer rescue protocol, in that moment and maybe end a standoff in less than 10 minutes. Right? You get somebody's emotions regulated. They're like, oh my God, I got to get out of here. I don't want to do this. This isn't for me. You know, and then let's look at the other, you know, health effects, right? Diabetes, cancer, autoimmune disorders, strokes. Those are all things that first responders deal with because of high cortisol levels. So if you can regulate your cortisol levels, you're going to regulate your health long-term. I mean, there's no way to measure that without 20 years of data, but it's going to happen, right? The body keeps score. Dr. Bessel van der Kolk talks about it. They know how long people are going to live under stress. And if you do any kind of homework in something called adverse childhood experiences, ACEs scores, there's so much ACEs data that they can look and see what your ACEs score is without intervention and tell you approximately when you're going to die. That's how much data they've got collected on the ACEs. If you have high ACEs, you're the ones that are high likely to develop PTSD and depression, right? But here's the thing too. A lot of people with high ACEs, guess what professions they go into? They go into law enforcement. They go into firefighting. They go into the military. Because they want to be the sheepdogs that stand between the animals that are out there trying to hurt people like they may have been hurt. And then they're the ones that are going to end up struggling the most. If you have a really good, solid childhood, you're probably not going to deal with emotions the same way as somebody who had a bad childhood. You think it'd be the other way around because you think you'd be used to it. But the thing is, your brain learns wrong how to process emotions. So if you don't learn to healthily process your emotions when you're a child, you're going to learn to unhealthily process as an adult. And all you got to think of is those neurological pathways connect one to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next. So I'm going to leave it for here. I mean, this is about a 25-minute episode. It's short. This is going to be the introductory episode to Tactical Resiliency USA. I'll be doing a podcast with Abel coming up pretty soon. Also with Susie Roos Groom. I'll be doing an episode also with Susie Powell Roos. She is the wellness coordinator for the Stanislaw County Sheriff's Office. She's awesome. She's an incredible person, a great human being. We had so much fun out there. And to be able to bring this tool to California, you guys need it very, very desperately. So hopefully Sheriff Jeff Dirks will, you know, get us plugged in other agencies out there. He's the vice chair for the California Sheriff's Association Wellness Committee. So he's one of the two guys on that committee. And there's 58 county sheriff's offices in the state of California. So hopefully we can impact that entire state and any other state that's interested. A lot of stuff going on here in Florida. Florida's probably our biggest representation of trained first responders because that's where I lived and that's where I'm living right now. So Florida's also going to be expanding drastically in the next probably 6 months. And anybody out there, if you have an agency that wants to bring us out there for a wellness conference, to be able to sit there and maybe find your 10 or 12 officers, firefighters, deputies who are dealing with the most amount of critical incidents, let us come out and work with them, and then let us help reset their nervous system so that they can be better versions of themselves. And your agency is going to thrive. You know, one of the things you got to look at too is retention. You know, if you can regulate the emotions of the men and women that serve you in your community, you regulate their emotions, they're going to stick around longer. Because a lot of people are quitting the profession, specifically law enforcement, because of stress. or they might not even make it out of training because they are coming to the table with a bunch of stress. What if you could address that on the front end of a career, literally like neutralize all of their stress before they even put a uniform on? That would be super cool. I'm going to be doing episodes coming up with Dr. David Hagedorn. We're going to talk a lot specifically about traumatic brain injury, because that's it's a topic that really needs to be addressed. You know, one of the things that the SWAT guys, I asked him the question, I said, how many flashbangs have you eaten in training or on the street? And all of them said a lot, right? Multiple flashbangs. Every time they eat a flashbang. And what I mean by that is they're entering a room as the flashbang goes boom, right? That's creating overpressure, and that's creating injury to the brain. And an injury to the brain is problematic, because depending upon the part of the brain that's affected will affect mood, will affect empathy, will affect decision-making, will affect impulsivity control. You know, and these are all things just out of experience. You know, I've had multiple blast injuries in combat, and I'm dealing with like the TBI related stuff, and I'm doing neurofeedback to correct it. I've been very blessed to be connected with some folks like Dr. David Hagedorn, who's at the pinnacle of his career with Evoke Neuroscience. And he also has Get Versus, which is the neurofeedback. And these are non-FDA regulated devices that can help you become better versions of yourself and literally through neuroplasticity rewire your brain. So I'm going to bring Dave Hagedorn on to actually go over my brain scan. And we're going to talk about it as if I was his client and what my experiences would be like because of that brain scan, because that's all next level thing, you know, because in the brain scans, they can see PTSD and they can see anxiety. They can also see if your heart rate variability is off, which is, that's the stress, right? Causing heart attacks and stroke. And there are simple methods and means that are very inexpensive ways to actually fix those problems. So stop looking at this as a disorder. It's not. It's a neurological injury, right? And if you are injured, we can heal it, right? So healing the hero is the battle cry. All right. Look forward to hearing you guys, or I look forward to sharing with you guys upcoming episodes on what Tactical Resiliency USA is going to be doing. A lot of really, really good stuff's coming up. I know Pittsburgh Fire Department is interested in having us come up and do some work with them. So Orange County Fire Rescue and Orlando, Florida, been communicating with them. So yeah, a lot of good stuff happening. We really need to find ways better to serve the men and women who serve us because they're entitled to it. I'm pretty sure if you're running into a burning building, you deserve to have that extra level of care. If you're running into the gunfire, you deserve to have that extra level of care. And that's why we're here. And our whole goal is to heal the heroes and get them back to being the best versions of themselves that they possibly can be, so that they can better serve the communities, because the communities right now are desperate for good quality law enforcement services, fire services, because they're what's standing between them and the bad guys, or they're between what's standing between them and a hearse, right? Think of all the paramedics and all the work they're doing to save lives with traffic crashes and, you know, cardiac events, you name it. The men and women who put those uniforms on for a purpose higher than self absolutely deserve to be set free of any kind of traumatic stress and have a long, healthy life. All right. We'll see you guys in the next episode. If you need anything from me, you can call me at 863-221-6304. That is my mobile number. Yes, you heard that right. I've given you my mobile number and I've given you permission to call me directly. Dan@tacticalresiliencyusa.com is my email, or you can email me dan@220zero.org. Not sure how much longer I'm going to have that email, but for now it's still available to me. And I look forward to working with you guys in the future, and I'll meet you guys up on the high ground.